I'm Dr. Don McDonald. Welcome to Breaking the Underdog Curse, the podcast. I believe one of the most valuable things you can give yourself as a chiropractor is taking time. Time to become more inspired, present, and focused. Weekly, I'll be bringing you stories of triumph, mindset shifts, and lessons from people who are breaking through their limitations. In order for chiropractic to thrive, we must have thriving chiropractors. Now, let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Breaking the Underdog Curse. This is Dr. Don McDonald, your host, and today takes me down to New Zealand to have a little talk with my brother from another mother, Dr. Nick Laurie. How are you doing today?
Kia ora, Don. Yeah, I'm doing great. Really well, thank you.
That's awesome. So for everybody out there, I met Nick at The Wave quite a few years ago with Simon Kelly. And then since that time, we've hung out a little bit in Australia. Then he invited my wife, Brandy, to come down and speak at Fiji on Fire. And we've hung out with him a couple times down there. And we've had some laughs together and maybe a few beers.
Yeah, we've had a few beers, a few laughs. But the time at Fiji on Fire with the McDonald's was an awesome time, actually. So it's a shame you guys are coming back this year.
Yes, I know. We couldn't do the three-peat. We only could do the two-peat.
Yeah.
So
yeah, you've lost your foundation status.
Yes, no doubt. So, Nick, why don't you tell us a little bit about, because you've been in practice for close to 20 years, right?
Yeah, 18 years. So I started in February 2000. And I graduated from NZCC, so I was in their second class out.
Okay, perfect. Now, where did you grow up and how did you decide to be a chiropractor?
Okay, so I grew up in New Zealand, and I was, rowing surf boats. So we row these huge things out into the surf and then turn around and catch a wave and come back. And the guys in the in my surf boat crew were noticing that when I was coming down the slide, I would skew to one side all the time. And they said, "You're crooked." And I said, "Oh, okay. So how do I sort that out?" They said, "Oh, there's this chiropractor guy who lives along the road. You've got to go and see him." And the guy's name was Graham Dobson. Mm-hmm. So I went along to see Graham, and he took x-rays and he started to straighten me out, and I do have a lumbar curve, and but what he was helping me with was I was getting even power, so even power out of both my legs. So that was my introduction to chiropractic, and I didn't really get the philosophical side of it. I'm sure he told me, because he's a very philosophical sage-like chiropractor, but I just didn't get it. I didn't hear it. Yeah, I wasn't ready to hear it. Mm-hmm. I was there for structure. Yeah,
right.
So, should I keep going?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. So, anyway, I took a liking to his daughter, who hung around the practice and was also in the surf club as well. And we ended up getting married. So Graham became my father-in-law as well as my chiropractor. And so in the course of things, in those days I used to, our family business was a business selling fishing gear. And I had an opportunity to move to Australia. So from New Zealand to Australia and open up my own fishing shop. So my own fishing tackle shop. So I opened that up, moved over there. And transfer my chiropractic care to a new chiropractor. And the new chiropractor was a guy named Anthony Tremaine. And he was the guy, he was a real apostle or prophet of Reggie. And he really switched me on to what chiropractic was about. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so since then, he's left chiropractic. And he's started spinology. So he runs a spinology school in Australia. Mm. But he, in those times, he was a purpose-driven chiropractor who really switched me on to the brain-body connection. And then he Henry, so into it that I sold my fishing shop and we moved over to South Carolina and started chiropractic college. Had two little kids, so we moved over to South Carolina, started chiropractic college at Sherman, and we started doing our prereqs there. And didn't really like living in Spartanburg. It's not the most fantastic place on earth. Being a beach person, there wasn't a beach for miles. So when the school opened up in New Zealand, we came back to start at NZCC, and I was in the second class that they had ever, and graduated as a chiropractor in 2000. So that's my chiropractic story.
Yes, that's your foundation story. So it's was it kind of interesting to be just the second class at the school? Was that kind of interesting with them just starting up?
Well, it was the best thing because the guys in the first class, so that was Simon, the likes of Simon Kelly, and they had to sit board exams. I think they had to sit them five times just to check that they got it right. And if they failed, if anyone in the class failed, the whole school was going to be closed down. And we were just going, what the heck is going on here? Like, the school's going to be closed down. Well, what's that mean to us? So we were helping them as well.
That's what you call a group study.
The whole school was behind this, these 20 people sitting these exams. Oh, it was, and no pressure. Yeah. So luckily they passed, and then the next year we only had to do one lot. So, ooh. Well, we had to do two lots. We had to pass a school one, and then we had to pass the national board as a separate one. But there was no pressure on us as far as if we failed. Well, we failed. We didn't let the whole school down like they were going to. So luckily they all passed, and we got to carry on the next year. Yeah.
That's cool. And so when you graduated, did you just get out right away and open a practice, or how did you start in practice?
Yeah, so I had, at that stage, I had three children, and so I needed to provide fast. So what I did was I got a student loan and I bought a business. So I bought an existing chiropractic business off a friend of mine. And in it, there was an associate. Well, he wasn't really an associate. He'd been practicing for 20 years, and he just came in and did 2 days. He just did Tuesdays and Thursdays, and then I sort of practiced around him. And yeah, Jeff Berry was his name, and he was an activator instructor, so he knew about activator. I didn't have a clue what activator was. We weren't exposed to them at chiropractic college. And so he was sort of like, I was sort of like his associate, but he paid me. Yeah. So that's how it worked. So I went into practice with him, he and I, and he would be fully booked for his 2 days. And then I was just scrounging around, getting the scraps and starting from scratch and doing as well as I could around the edges.
Mm. And did it take you a long time to grow? Was it a big challenge at the beginning, or did you grow relatively quickly?
Well, my first goal, I'll just wait for the internet. So, yeah. So my first goal was to see 100. That was my target. And I got there in 4 months. So that was pretty good. I thought that was okay. Yeah. So I was strutting around with my 100 badge on, thinking I was a legend. And I think one time I peaked at 160 in 1 week, and I thought I was an uber legend then. And so I got a new CA, and she had worked for Brian Kelly. Her name was Christy Openlander. So she came in and worked for me, and I said, you know, I've seen 160. And she goes, that's not much. I said, what? She goes, oh, no, the practice that I've been in. And I went, oh, my God. It's more than anyone else in my class has seen. You know, come on, what's the story here? And had to take off my special badge and realize that I wasn't actually that hot. So she sent me, she said, you've got to do some personal development. I said, what's that got to do with chiropractic? You know, I was still in the real mechanistic model. Even though I'd graduated from NZCC, I was still back to what I was. Yeah, I was trying to fix people at that stage. Mm-hmm. And my care plans, I look back on them. I was looking back just the other day. I didn't really have a care plan. They came until they didn't want to, you know, really. And I tried to see them as, I was a legend if I saw them as little as possible, really, in those days. So she sent me to the, first she sent me to Landmark. So I went to Landmark. And yeah. I don't know if you've been exposed to Landmark, but mm-hmm. It was fairly cult-like, I thought. And they give you an option. You start on a Friday Friday, and they give you an option to, if you walk out now, you get all your money back. And I'm very financially driven. And so I was going to walk out. I left it to the last minute because you could walk out on Saturday afternoon. Then you're locked in. You had to stay in. And I walked out. I was just about to walk out. And I thought, oh, no, I like one of the stories. So I stayed. And it burst my bubble. I came out a different man. So I was just pumping after that. Practice boomed for some reason just because I was on purpose.
Yeah.
And then the next thing she sent me to was a Parker. And that's when I first heard Brandy speak. It was Parker, I think it was Parker Melbourne that we went to.
Oh, wow. That was back in, I think, 2009 or 10.
Parker Melbourne.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
The first one.
Yeah.
I'm not too sure. Oh, yeah. Wait. Oh, no. This was even earlier than that one. So I don't think Brandy was at that one. She was at the second one. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, it was way ago. And so I went to this Parker and I heard Rick Wren speak.
Yes.
Dr. Rick Wren.
Good old Rick, yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, good old Rick. And he had the 21 steps to 100 a day. And I just thought, yeah, here we go. 100 in a day? Like, that's my week's worth. So I followed religiously his 21 steps and got back. And between us, Christy and I, we just blew the practice apart. It we got up to some really like high 200s, which is where you have to have things working for that to happen. And it was an awesome experience. And it was sort of those were my peak days. Mm-hmm. And you do fall back to your level of comfort. And the thing that kept us up, though, was systems and procedures. So once we got those down, it was you could see plenty of people, but with the systems and procedures, it was done easily. And that's what kept us up there. So that was the first thing I learned was have your systems and procedures and things will happen quite easily.
That's awesome.
I was just curious
about Rick Wren. What out of those steps on those principles to see 100 a day weren't you doing?
The big one was I wasn't pre-framing subluxation. Mm. I wasn't really talking about subluxation as much as I was. And the other thing was, so... And it brought in the thing that you and Brandy go about. The next thing was he encouraged you to x-ray, which provided me a measure. So all of a sudden I had a measure, a baseline, and then we were going somewhere. Rather than how the person felt.
Right.
It was, we were doing, and it started off structural. Yeah, I was looking for curves and trying to change curves.
Yeah.
But that was the first thing I started to measure. And then I had, the other thing was he had have a comprehensive examination. So I was doing all sorts of measuring there with range of motion, muscle strength, and then even throwing in a little bit of balance, which is, yeah, that was really cool too. So it started to evolve and there were just different people giving me little bits of feedback, and it sort of boomed on from there. Then the next step on top of that was I met a guy named John Hinwood at Parker. Mm-hmm. So I met him, and he gave me a complimentary coaching call, which turned into it's turned into about a 15-year experience in coaching now. So being coached as a chiropractor.
Yeah.
And so I had this coach, and it was so John started coaching me, and then there was another guy named Craig Gilbert who owned 10 practices and really knew his chiropractic stuff. And they really nursed me along into the field of excellence rather than where I was at. So it was, yeah, I'd say coaching was probably the next thing that really took me to the to a better level of achievement. And then also they started to look at, well, they got me to look at things like values. Like, yeah. I didn't even know what a value was. And a mission and vision. And I still struggle with a mission and vision. Vision, I'm changing it every day just about, you know. But at least I know what it is and I'm looking for it and tweaking it. Yeah, but the big thing was values. And I use them all the time now, checking in with them to make sure that I'm living the way I should be.
Mm-hmm. No, that's cool. And so you coached for 15 years. Was it about 15 years that you were under coaching for?
Yeah, I still am. So yeah, it's ongoing. Yeah.
And then
I'm still with Powerful Practices.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then I was just curious too, didn't you also become a coach too, get training to be a coach?
Yeah, at the moment I'm an apprentice coach. So I've done a year of the course. I've done the course that you have to do for Powerful Practices. You have to complete this coaching course. And then you have to complete some personal development. And I've just got one little module to go and I'll be straight into it. And then also you have to know their curricula back to front. And I've been exposed to it for 15 years, but it hasn't been from the angle of delivering it to someone else. So I've had to relearn it and start from scratch. And doing that's been great because I've been able to apply it to my practice as well. Mm-hmm. So yeah, this is the year I'm actually going to be taking on some clients and helping them out. Hopefully Powerful Practices, if they'll have me, they're just going to be deciding that. And then every time I start thinking about that, I think, oh my God, am I worthy? Would someone want to hear what I say? And so, and that's a big part of having to do the personal development as well, as you realize how to deal with things like self-worth.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of chiropractors struggle with that, right? Because many chiropractors are out, even just going out in the public and trying to talk about chiropractic or introducing themselves to someone and saying that they're a chiropractor. Sometimes that is even scary for them because they don't even feel like they're worth it to be a chiropractor, let alone to coach other chiropractors. So that is something that's pretty cool to work on. How did you decide? Because you decided to put this thing on Fiji on Fire. Can you tell me how you kind of came up with that whole idea with Fiji on Fire?
Yeah, well, with Fiji on Fire, so Ash Pritchard is a fantastic chiropractor. He's an Australian, but we've let him come into New Zealand. And so he has a lot to do with the chiropractic college now. He's on the board of the chiropractic college. And he and I, we were sitting down at the New Zealand Chiropractors Association conference down in Queenstown, which is a beautiful part of the world. And we were sitting there going, this is a great, you know, what's good about this conference is it's in a great place. And I said, look, really, where I get my nuggets when I go to a conference is sitting around the bar. You know, you hear the best things and you get the best practice tips. Listening to these old dudes and what they do. And so he said, yeah. He said, so what can we do with that? And I said, well, first of all, we've got to have the next conference in Fiji because it's got to be a beautiful place. And he said, oh, I don't know. I don't think that's legal because it's in New Zealand. We have to have it in New Zealand. I said, well, why don't we start something? We should do something with Fiji. And I said, and he said, yeah, that's a good idea. And then I just sort of put it to bed. And about 6 months later, he said, I want to run with the Fiji thing. And I said, oh, okay. I know all about it. I've been to Fiji probably 19 times. I'll find out where we can get a venue and what we'll do. And I'll do an exploratory mission up there. So it was an excuse for me to take my family up to Fiji. And so we hooked up with a travel agent and worked out where we were going to have it, what we're going to do. Ash created a website, some website starter kit. You'll notice that the Fiji on Fire website is not the slickest thing you'll ever see. So, but and then he said, right, well, how are we going to run this thing? And I said, okay, so what we should do is we should have 2 hours in the morning of speakers, and no speaker can talk more than half an hour because I fall asleep after half an hour, even if they're good. He said, okay. So we're going to have 2 hours of speaking in the morning, and then we're going to have a big break so that we can play in the pool or have a few beers, and then we can hang out with everyone. And then we'll have 2 hours in the afternoon, but we've got to finish before happy hour. So so then we get into happy hour. And that's how it morphed. And you've got a guy like David Fletcher, who's a god in chiropractic. And he's there speaking on stage. And then next thing you're standing in the pool in your Speedos right next to him. And you're having a beer and saying, so what did you really mean up there on the stage? And you get the, you get it one-on-one. It's a really awesome concept. From that point of view, and everyone just becomes a great big family, awesome group. You know, I think there's even, I was going to get cheeky then and say even some network people like it. but there's none of that. It's not a technique-y thing. It's about brain body connection. Ash's his mission is, and his main value is full expression. And so everything is about full expression. You just go full on. And that's how Fiji on Fire came about. First thing we did was we had to get a speaker. And I remember being at the Wave with you guys. So I just got online and hooked up with Brandy. And I said, Brandy, will you speak? We're doing this seminar in Fiji. Will you speak? And she said, oh, wow. She was blown away that she was invited internationally to speak. I didn't tell her that she was the only one we had so far. And then she said yes. So she agreed. And she said, so who else? I said, so who else do you think we should get? And then she mentioned David Jackson, David Fletcher. We had those guys. Then we had some of the New Zealand crowd. We always have a little bit of research. So Kelly Holt comes and delivers the research from the chiropractic college. And then we have Phil McMaster, the head of the chiropractic college. And then the guys from the Australian chiropractic college that are just starting out, Patrick Sim, Hayden Bell, those guys, Aaron Scott. So they all came over too.
Yeah.
And then that beautiful human, Mark Possels. He could see that this was, because he likes a bit of Fiji and he owns a few Hawaiian shirts. So he was keen to be part of it. And that's how it just morphed and it's blowing up. This year we've had to turn away speakers. So I've been awesome. Approached by speakers. Yeah, we've had to turn them away.
Yeah. That's awesome. And again, we've gone there twice. And I think the thing that's so unique about it is that you get to spend the whole day. And it's kind of like going to summer camp. But when I was a kid, I had to go to church camps. And so it's like way more fun than church camps.
Yeah. And then, then you think, oh, okay, I'm blown away. I can't get any more in me. And then we take you to Cloud Nine, the floating bar.
Yes.
Yeah. And have a day just drinking Coronas and Vonnies in the sun. And the real fellowship goes on there. It was great stuff. And it's not, okay, it's not just a drink fest. We ate pizza as well. But it was the real bonding. And at the end of the weekend, you could see everyone was together. We just wanted more of it. And everyone was really sad, almost crying when they had to go home after it. It's a beautiful thing. So I'm looking forward to this year in June.
Yes.
June 16. Yep. Get online.
Yeah. What's the website to tell people?
We've still got seats.
What's the website?
It's FijiOnFire.com.
Oh, there you go. So you
www.FijiOnFire. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome.
And it's it's a primitive website, but just yeah. And so if you're thinking about it, do it, because you'll come out of there and your practice will grow. Even just putting it on with Ash and I, we both got back to our practices after this year and hit our targets. It was amazing. So I had to buy a new jacket. So, because what happens is if I promised myself that I was going to get a jacket if I reached my number target. And so all of a sudden, Simon Kelly saw me wearing his jacket because he's my chiropractor. So I went, saw him every Wednesday and I was wearing my jacket. And he goes, what's that for? I said, I'm the new guy, I got the jacket. He goes, oh, you've done it. Awesome, awesome. So we had a bit of a celebration with that. But that was just from a mental shift after Fiji on Fire. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, tell me a little bit about your circle of influence. And you know, there's chiropractors out there that feel alone because a lot of them are in practice by themselves. And what kind of advice would you have? Like, and what have you done as far as surrounding yourself with like-minded people to keep you elevated?
Yeah, and that is a big thing because I do practice by myself. I've got two CAs, but I'm practicing there. I'm the only practitioner. And it's a lonely, lonely time. You have your patients. I like to call them my health seekers or vitality seekers.
Hey, there you go.
So I have my vitality seekers coming in. And So I have my vitality seekers coming in and I have to, it's on my shoulders. It is a lonely time. So what I do is I make sure that every week I get checked and adjusted by a colleague. So I make an appointment and it's sure it's only a 3-minute appointment, but it is a connection. And so I always make sure that I've got my chiropractor. I make sure that I get to as many seminars as I can. And in New Zealand, that's pretty hard because we're quite isolated. We do have them down here, but just got to make sure that you take the effort. So we come out to the States. If you get to Canada one day too, that'd be awesome.
That would be good.
And so we come up there and do things like Parker, The Wave. David Jackson puts on an awesome epic experience. That's on the list. Kel Jam, that would be a great one. I think that's coming up. Yeah, so those sort of things are vital to meeting and greeting people. And then there's the New Zealand Chiropractic Association has started the CPD groups and we meet once a month. And so I've just joined up one of those. I'm going to make sure that I'm getting into a bit of that sort of fellowship as well. But definitely you have to embrace your colleagues. You can't do it all alone, you know. I think I'm finally growing up because I used to think bad things about some other chiropractors. Yeah, I think when I was in chiropractic college, we called ourselves the chiropractic commandos and we were going to go around and blow up mixer offices. we've sort of evolved a little bit past that now. There was no blowing up. But now, professional jealousy gets in the way of a lot of comradeship. We're all doing the same thing, really. And there's no need for it. Everyone has got their own intention, their own goals, and good luck to them. But everyone has, they've got hands that heal. So as long as you focus on that, the practice the profession is just going to get stronger and stronger when we link arms and stride together. Mm-hmm. So that's what I would profess. Yeah.
And what about self-care? Because I know a lot of times we get into that second phase of practice where, you know, things start rolling and you start hitting your stride. And then, like, I know for me, I got burnt out. Do you happen to have any examples of this, of maybe getting a little bit out of balance?
Yeah, I can see where you're going here, Don. You know my story. So, okay. What happens to a lot of chiropractors is they get hung up on a value of achievement. So, and that was my big thing, was I was had numbers, so I was focused on numbers, had to achieve them. And then when I wasn't achieving, I had that in my work life and then my home life to achieve, I'd just throw in a marathon here and there. So I'd run a few marathons. So, I've run 25 now and I still haven't quite hit the perfect time. Yeah. So I was, going really hard in practice. I had a goal of, and it might not seem much to a lot of chiropractors, but I had a goal of seeing 300 patients a week.
Yeah.
And I was hitting 250, 260 all the time with my one office. So I thought, hey, here's the way, I'll buy another office. So I bought another business, split my days. And so I had two offices. And I did. I was seeing 300 patients a week. Working 12-hour days, 12-hour, and I say 12 hours on the, you know, on the tools for 12 hours, 5 days a week, stagger into the weekend, feel pretty emotionally drained, running marathons in the weekends, you know, like we're training for them, and then also because I was working 12-hour days, I sort of felt isolated because I didn't have time to do anything else. I isolated myself from my family, isolated myself from my friends. And I tried to make up with it with a little bit of binge drinking in the weekends. And this is a recipe for disaster. And it did happen. My body woke up. I was training for a marathon. I went out on for a run on a Sunday afternoon, a little bit hungover, dehydrated, and had a heart attack.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. And that shook my world up. Had to come out of that. And so the idea was, I'd already, at that stage, I realized what I was doing wasn't so good. So I had sold my practice a few months earlier, but the 5 years of 12-hour days. It's not, chiropractors can't work like that. Not well. You can't work like that well. So I was doing that, came out of that, recovered from the heart attack, survived, which was, that was step one.
Yeah, no
doubt. And then had to rebuild all my relationships. So I had to rebuild my relationship with my family and my friends. All of a sudden I was around a lot longer. Had to rebuild all that and did a heck of a lot of personal development work with an outfit called Real Education. So they're a company in Australia and they run these workshops called Real Man One, where you learn to be a man and you become part of a tribe and you come home with values that serve your family and people around you. And that was a real eye-opening experience, and I did come home a real man. And so I can credit them with some big changes that have happened in my life. So yeah, that's been my chiropractic burnout story. So
yeah, I had that one. And yeah. I think that's so important, because I think people have got to listen to that out there, because, you know, we'll change for one of two reasons, either inspiration or desperation. And unfortunately, a lot of times when we just get caught up looking after our people and doing the things we want to do, trying to hit our goals, it ends up being desperation. And the reason that hopefully this message goes out there, hopefully we get some chiropractors out there before they have a heart attack, right? So I think that's why it's such a valuable story that you have to share with everybody else. And so do you feel like you have a little bit more balance now with practice?
Oh, totally, totally. And it's showing too. Coming back from two practices to one, both practices wound down because I wasn't there mentally, you know. So, yeah. And now I'm back to my original practice, and I'm having to build that, and it's getting good busy practice, but it's always, you know, I've got the achievement thing. I do want it to always be better.
Yeah.
A cool thing I learned through my coaching course was the value of connection. So you have a vitality seeker come in, and they were just sort of part of the process to me, and I was checking, adjusting, but I wasn't getting a real connection with each person who came in. So now whenever a vitality seeker comes through my door, that's my goal. I walk into the room and I go, right, I'm going to connect with that person. And it doesn't have to be through, idle chatter. It can be subluxation based connection.
Yeah.
It can be, I just lay my hands on them and take a breath and they can feel it. I breathe. And then they just know, right, yeah, he's here. He's connected to me. This guy is really going to turn my power on. So that is the big, and that's worth probably 70 patients a week, that connection. It just blew it, you know, up to another level. It was awesome.
Yeah. Because that gives you, that fills you back up again, right? Because before, if you're just seeing each vitality seeker and just kind of adjusting them and you weren't connecting with them, that seems to tap your energy a little bit more, right? So maybe that helps to kind of get you a little bit more revigorated, do you think?
Oh, yeah. You all day you're giving, but this way you are getting, you're getting a top up.
Yeah, that fills it back up. That's awesome. That's cool. Well, our time's coming to an end, and so I usually like to get all of our podcast guests to take the last couple minutes to give their pearls of wisdom or words of inspiration to the Underdog Nation. For any chiropractors out there that don't feel worth it or feel bad about themselves or need a little kick in the butt, what kind of parting words of wisdom would you like to share with all the chiropractors out there?
Okay, so looking back on my illustrious career, I would make sure that the first thing you do is make sure that you are the best you can be. So do a lot of personal development, take the steps, do those weird courses, but be the best you that you can be, first of all. The second thing is make sure that you have systems and procedures in your office, because you don't need to reinvent the wheel. There'll be some chiropractor out there who has done the hard yards and they know exactly what to do. So that leads into the third thing, is get a coach. Every chiropractor needs a coach or a mentor. And you need that for personal development, but you need it also for those systems and procedures. They will tell you, they will save you thousands and thousands of dollars of experimentation, and they will guide you the quickest way possible. So yeah, I would invest in coaching. And the third thing is look after yourself. Look after your own health. Like, we're in a health profession. And it astounds me when you go to a seminar and you see a smoking chiropractor. Sure, I think we all, as a profession, we do like to drink a little bit. But rein that in, be careful with that. Look up, let's be a healthy profession, mentally and physically. So they would be my pearls of wisdom, Don.
Well, that's awesome. I think that's why I wanted to get your message out here too, because, some people we've heard of in the profession in the last few years had heart attack and they didn't survive. So it's nice to be able to come back and actually be able to share the story, you know, say, yes, we want to get out there. Yes, we want to hit our goals. Yes, we want to make impact in our society, in our towns, but we don't want to do it for the sacrifice of our family and the sacrifice of our health and all that stuff. So thanks very much for sharing that, Nick.
Yeah, and it's like having a heart attack was a real ego thing for me. I go to the gym every day, five times a week. I've been going 5 times a week since I was 12 years old. And I've run a lot. And I thought, no, there's no way. I do a few bad things, but a heart attack? So, yeah, you do have to be a little bit wary. Yeah. No one's bulletproof.
That's awesome. All right. Well, everybody, I think we can take a lot of lessons from Nick, and he also had some really good pointers and the importance of coaching and mentoring. A lot of us, when we come out of school, we don't really know what we're doing. And, you know, we're just kind of flailing around, and we really can cut the learning process down quite a bit by picking up a coach. So everybody take some lessons, listen to this again, and don't forget to crush the curse.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. If you receive value from this episode, please take some time to rate and review us on iTunes or your favorite place to listen to podcasts. If you know a fellow chiropractor that could benefit from this message, please share it with them. Because it's my goal to provide you with great content, please contact me if you have any questions at drdonmcdonald.com or find me on Facebook. I look forward to hearing from you. So until next time, Dr. Don out.